Hi, everyone. Welcome to Levels. I am Jeremy Long, and this is a show where we talk about people getting punched in the face. And usually with me is my co-host, Cassandra Cousineau. You may know her better off as the Sportsnista. Look, she does her Vanna White walk onto the scene. Look. She comes in ready to lay the groundwork for a great show that we have today. Cece, who do we have on the show today? And I know it's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, it is back-to-back heavy hitters. So we have heavyweight champion trainer, Dewey Cooper, of course, who's worked with Francis Ngannou, and Francis has just become the UFC heavyweight champion of the world. Yep. And in the second half of the show, we have the always exciting Miss Ebony Bridges. So what a lineup we got for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really fun, especially it's coming off an exciting weekend of fights and more news than we can possibly handle. But we'll do our best. First, I see Dewey getting ready in the back here, trying to get those devices connected. It's tricky, getting hooked up in this day and age. Everything's live streaming everywhere. So no matter where you're catching, go ahead and text them and I'll give us the introduction here.
It's always going to be is he having trouble getting in?
He's back there, but it's saying his devices are not connected. So I don't know if he's got his audio and video off. We saw, the crowning of a new heavyweight champion, a guy who has been labeled for a while now, the once and future king of the heavyweight division. In Francis Ngannou, and we've really saw a transformation. These two fought before. If you were living under an MMA rock somewhere, these two warriors collided a while back, and Stipe pretty much made a simple work of Mr. Ngannou. This time, the rematch was a completely different story, and Cece, it almost looked like two completely different fighters facing off. Stipe with some miles, some DC wars under his belt, didn't really look the same as he might have just a couple of seasons ago. And you age fast in this sport. But is it more so that Stipe aged a little bit in front of us, or is it more the complete turnaround of Francis Ngannou?
Look, Francis Ngannou is a guy who's been clocked to punch at 96 miles per hour. Get hit once at 96 mile per hour. Yeah, that'll change some things for you. But I also feel like, the first time they fought, Francis had been a professional MMA fighter for 4 years. This time was 2018, and now that they fought, it's been four more years. So he's now had a more rounded, I think, runway for UFC and MMA in general, and he's almost a complete fighter, and that's scary. I think that's what happened to Stipe.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're talking about a guy who had that natural, incredible, Deontay Wilder. He had that beautiful knockout, power that he could hit you at any point and turn out the lights, and he relied on that, but he did have some deficiencies as far as, grappling and even defense and things like that, and then you see, he changes up his diet. He changes up, makes little changes in his team and things like that. And all of a sudden, completely different guy. You see Stipe try to go for the takedown. He's, Ngannou stuffs it, makes him pay. I mean, credit to Stipe Miocic. I mean, he absorbed some shots that a normal person would be put out on their back.
That incredible chin.
But there's only so many. Oh, yeah, you go ahead. You work with Dewey. There's only so many of those shots, those 94-mile-per-hour shots, like getting hit by a Buick or whatever they compare it to, a Geo Metro that my mom drove back in the day. One of those things, those three-cylinder cars, whatever it was back in the day, there's only so many of those shots that you can take before, the brain starts protecting itself and the body and everything. And that's what happened to Stipe. Go ahead.
They, Dan Cormier had said in between the first and the second, it's crazy, I forgot it went two rounds. Mm-hmm. But Cormier said in between those first two rounds, Stipe was getting coaching. And he said, they said, you know, you've got to get out. You got to move quicker and you've got to get him down. And all Stipe said was, I know.
Easier said than freaking done, man. Mm-hmm. Look, Francis Ngannou is, if you know, if ordinary fans don't understand what goes on at the Performance Center and why it's been such a game changer over the last few years in athletes' lives, normally an athlete like Francis would have to just have, you know, people basically invest in him, and he would go in, and you know, obviously you're talking about a unicorn, right? So I'm sure gyms would welcome him in, but he wouldn't necessarily have access to the kind of world, like state of the art things and training and nutrition and everything else that they have at the UFC PI. This is a guy who basically lives up there. I mean, he loves Las Vegas. You can always find him around town. I know when I was with Lotus Broadcasting, he was always there. He's so humble. He's such an approachable guy. But he took full advantage of everything that the UFC would offer him as far as training and nutrition and everything. And to see him kind of putting it all together. Now, he's still got a few little, you know, dings in him, things like that people point out. But to see him putting it all together like that is downright scary, CeCe.
I mean, was he 6'4", 260? You know, big old man. Is perfect big man. Heavyweight. He is absolutely the perfect heavyweight. He's athletic. Now he's more skilled for certain and just naturally built for the division. But I also think he got an understanding on what the business side of it meant. And you pointed out the whole why am I saying PCI? That's not what it is. The PI. The PI is built to build champions, right? Not to get you ready for your next fight. It is meant to build a champion. And I think that is the one difference that people find when they get there. You can train. I mean, listen, you know, American Top Team has a great thing going on in Florida. We saw Usman come out of Colorado. I mean, it was just the difference that he needed. And then, of course, you know, the X factor. He had Dewey and Eric Nisikin in his corner. So that will make a difference for you.
Yeah. So. And that's a very powerful team, too. And we'll get to the coaching as soon as we get Dewey Cooper on the line. You know,
we might have to flip the guest today. We'll see.
See what happens. We'll have him on either way. But the other big news kind of coming out to the last couple of days, the last 48 hours anyway, Endeavor is making a move to basically take over the 100% of the UFC. Now, right now, they own a little bit above 50% of this company. It was a move that was, clutching your pearls just a couple of years ago with the amount that they paid for their percentage. And now they're looking to take it over completely. Now, CeCe, why would a company like Endeavor want to move and take over 100% of the UFC at this point?
Well, I know that Endeavor has been trying to go public for a while. This could help strengthen that case. It's the only thing that I'm thinking of. I mean, coming out of 2020, I think I read somewhere that Endeavor actually lost money, but Emmanuel made $14 million. So yeah. Oh, yeah. Money hard can buy. It just depends on who you are, I guess. Here we go. I think we got him this time.
Well, you know, I know it has been no secret that Endeavor and the, you know, Silver Lake and all the partners involved with that want to take this company public, which is crazy, right? They want to take an MMA company public because that's where the real money is. People like you and me. We could become investors of the UFC, you know. So what exactly is that going to take? It's on the rise, right?
I would. Heck yeah. Did we get, I thought Dewey came in and did we lose him?
Yeah, we lost him again. He's trying. He got that TC Martin special, got that Boost Mobile. But according to their SEC filing, Endeavor has a deal in place to raise at least $1.75 billion, that's with a B, to buy out the remainder of the UFC before the initial public offering. So, you know, they are valuing it high. Dana White has been crowing.
Did they pay you like $2 billion for UFC? How many billions?
It was almost four.
Couple billion. So they got
So they're valuing the company, and I believe Dana said it the other night at the press conference, subsequent interviews probably, that you know, he's looking at a, you know, $10 billion company, which is crazy because they won't pay their fighters any more than they do, because of that whole 80-20 revenue split that they do.
Speaking
which
of
is crazy.
Paying your fighters,
yeah,
see what
Mr. John Jones
about that.
John Jones came out on record and said in a tweet, $8 to $10 billion is nothing to him. That is pocket change, and he is not going to fight Francis Ngannou for that amount of money. Now, of course, fight fans are always quick to call someone a coward who is ducking people. Cece, is it really about money with John Jones?
Yep, that's all it's about. He's not afraid of fighting anybody, let alone Francis Ngannou. This is what John Jones is made for. But I think he's also kind of at a phase in his career where it might be the last phase of this part of his career. And so he's trying to cash out on that Conor money, which I think he should get. He should get Conor money. Whatever the Conor McGregor deal is, there's three people who should get that: Conor, Amanda Nunes, and John Jones. That's it. Everybody else is negotiable.
Yeah. And, you know, John Jones has been making millions for each fight up to this. But this is, you know, he's exactly right. This is something that MMA fans are drooling over. Francis Ngannou, John Jones. You know, that is going to do huge numbers. That's going to do huge pay-per-view buys and everything. So right now, you know, I know that Dana is going, hey, let's give him Derek Lewis instead. And while that still would be a really fun fight, I think Dana, I think the partners will jump in, and I think they'll blink, especially right now, whenever they're trying to raise all this money, all this capital for the UFC buyout and everything. I think they're going to put a little pressure on Mr. White and say, hey, look,
they have to. Yeah.
Even if he wants $15 or $20 million, whatever, it's probably the biggest fight so far, which is crazy. The last couple of years, we've had subsequent biggest fights ever in UFC history. But this one, I don't think this one is, you know, all talk, all smoke.
No, I don't think it's all smoke, but there's some others. There's some smoke happening. When you see, like, so Connor's going to fight Dustin, five-round non-title. Non-title bout.
Don't care. Oh, my God.
Are we done
care.
With it? Like, you know, are people done with, like, I'm going to watch Connor, just it doesn't matter?
Look, man, because it has no significance. It has no – all this does, all they're hoping for, Dana is hoping that Connor puts Dustin away so that he can give him a title fight. That is – like you just said, there's three people in the UFC that move the meter: Amanda Nunes, Connor McGregor, and John Jones. Anyone else, they don't really care about. They don't want – look, he may say all the right things, and he'll give them all the community awards that they can come up with. But they don't want Dustin Poirier.
No.
They want Conor McGregor. And that's the simple fact of it. You know? And so that's what they're hoping for. And to do it so soon again, you know, I know hardcore people, and you know, each camp has fans, and it'll sell out because,
right,
you know, and also they're taking advantage of, you know, what's been a very a light couple of, you know, months with sports and everything. You know, you see what they did with the Usman and Masvidal, man. Huge gate in Florida. Screw the COVID. Screw the science. Whatever. Hey, we're doing it. And fans have responded with a record amount of money exchanging hands. And, you know, so they'll do it. But is it really a fight that we all really care about that much? Yeah, probably not.
Probably not, but you know what? Depends. Because if it's the only game in town, so they're going to take that fight somewhere, right? Might end up back on Fight Island. Who knows? You know, they don't want any more pay-per-views here or there.
No. They're talking about International Fight Week, trying to open it back up here in Las Vegas.
What do you think? I mean, do you think by July we'll be ready to do that here?
Will business be open? Yeah. At the beginning of May here locally in Vegas, Governor Sisolak has already said he's turning control of the city basically and everything COVID related back over to local authority. And our mayor was the first one April last year that said open it all back up.
Shots.
She didn't care how many of us died. You open that city back up, David. And people are ready to get out. So you know what? If they have it in July, tourism is already back up. I already have several friends that have already been back out here to Vegas and everything. So, you know, out of sight, out of mind, people are getting vaccinated. And if you get vaccinated, whatever, you know, at this point. So it's not a political thing. It's just, hey, how things are rolling right now. So if it happens.
Top Rank has a card, right? But it's for April, end of this month. So if they just wait, that's a big one, actually. That's the Jose Ramirez card, actually. Yeah. Let me get him on. Let me make a mental note of that. Here we go. Which one is that? Is that Ebony or is it Dave?
It's Ebony. We'll give her a second to get all set up. But yeah, we got a Top Rank. Oh, and look, we're going to have Dave at the same time. We're kidding. Well, yeah, look at that. Finally.
Let me see if we can. Let me text Dewey. Can you?
It always goes, you know, live stream shows when you have two guests at several times, they both pop up at the same time. That's how it goes, man. We're ready for it.
Well, there, yeah, and he's on the East Coast.
East Coast, West Coast. That's totally fine. We'll roll with that. Point me in a direction.
Nine. All right. Let's see. Let's see if we can get him to come back at 9:15 his time.
We'll keep that chat.
He's
will
got a
roll
new phone.
It here.
He's on his nephew's phone. So, So
new
that's,
phone,
that's
who
why
dis?
He was able to get in. Yeah, no, he was able to get in because he had grabbed the nephew to get him that phone. We're trying to work with y'all. We're trying. Well, we got to get Ebony's in training.
Yeah,
here
we go.
Okay.
There she is. We caught her fixing her hair. So sorry about that. In a moment.
I'm like, what is going on? Oh, shit.
goodness gracious sakes alive. We got to give her a proper introduction, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Known the world over as the Blonde Bomber. She goes every day by Ebony Bridges, and she is on a meteoric rise in popularity and everything else when it comes to boxing. We are so happy to have you on the show once again, Miss Ebony Bridges. How are you doing? How's training? How's all that?
Oh, I'm good, man. Like, it's just been a bit of a whirlwind the last couple of weeks, you know. Obviously, because, you know, I had my that Australasian title fight at home, and then it was like, no sleep, pack up, come and fly into Philly for a world title fight in 4 weeks. So it was like, I mean, it's gone so fast, but like, I'm just starting to kind of get my, like, senses, if you know what I mean, because it was just so, it was literally like a whirlwind. Like, you know, I had a fight, and always after a fight, it's always pretty, you know, like your adrenaline and everything's pretty wild. But, I had to, like, you know, book my flights, pack for America, you know, like come to Philly, train Philly, get ready for a world title fight. Like, it was just get my head into that. Yeah, crazy.
Well, let's you know, kind of back that up. You did have a fight for the an Australian title, and then you win it decisively, and then all of a sudden it was like the next couple of hours your name was in for a world title fight. How did that come about? Did you know going in that if you won you were going to get this shot, or was it something that as soon as you got to the locker room they had a phone call waiting for you?
No, it was just before the, like a week, just over a week before the fight. So so it was kind of threw me, like, not didn't really throw me off, but it was like, so this fight that I had was like a bit of a tune-up fight. I haven't been in the ring for like 13 months, and you know, like it was an Australasian title against one durable woman. Wow. I will release like footage after I've had this fight of that fight, so people can just see how tough she was.
I mean,
she was tough. Like, and you know what? She has like, she's had 7 pro boxing fights, but she's had 45 Muay Thai kickboxing fights. So, you know, this woman is used to being kicked by in the face by shins, elbows, knees. You know, and I can throw bombs. Like, I'm strong, but she was tough. I was like, she was conditioned. So it was a great fight for me. It was actually, considering I have now a 10-round fight, it was a perfect warm-up, so to speak, even though it was a bit of a toe-to-toe fight for this next fight, because I hadn't been past 6 rounds. And I only been 6 rounds once. Before that, every other fight's finished, like, you know, first round, second round, third round. So it was all meant to happen, and the prep's how it is. So, but I had to stay focused on Carol, Carol Earl, which was hard, knowing that now I have this world. Well, if I win, you know, I have this world title shot against Shannon Courtney, like the fight that everyone has been calling for, really, especially in the UK. So then all of a sudden this tune-up fight became a lot more pressure. Like, it was like, you know, like, I really have to win this fight, you know.
You've got, obviously. No, go ahead.
Like, I had to win and not get injured. Like, I had to be very cautious to not get injured, because if I got injured in that fight, you know, we got 4 weeks till the world title fight. So it was just, yeah, lots of things in my mind.
What many people may not know is you also have a boxing background. I mean, that's the kind of the combat sport that you got into first, right? Was it that and Muay Thai?
Yeah. Well, obviously karate. I started karate when I was younger, and kickboxing, Muay Thai, I did through my teens. But I never actually fought in it, just training, because it wasn't legal here in Australia at that time for women to fight in combat sports.
Well, see, that's the only thing you didn't hit her with was, you know, up top with a head kick. You know,
I know the corner had the towel a few times in her hands, but I'm telling you, the 2 minute rounds, if we had 3 minutes, then she just seemed to be getting saved by
you. Might have had to kick her.
Yeah.
You might have had to kick her for 3 minutes.
Yeah. And you know, the funniest thing is that, like I said, I wanted it to be a bit of a tune up fight because I hadn't been in the ring for a while, and there was so many things going in that fight. Like, she had everything her way, you know, like, I just wanted a 6-round fight, and I wanted it at bantamweight, you know, but she's like, no, I want 8 rounds, and I wanted it super bantam. I'm like, and because of COVID, we don't have many people, like, our states are all in Australia, our state borders are all closed. So I have to fight people in my state, you know, and there's not many people. So it was like, I had to kind of just fight who was available, and she's like pulling all the shots, you know, and I'm like, I'm thinking, man, you want to do 8 rounds? Like, if you can't beat me in 6 rounds, then you're just going to be hating yourself after 8. And I tell you, after the first round, I could see it in her face. I bet she was like, she's like, why did I say I wanted to do 8 rounds? Like,
why? Gone 4.
Yeah, she should have. Definitely. But, I mean, her face definitely told a story that she did not want to be there. But she, you know, she kept getting up off that stool, getting picked up off the stool by her corner, and kept coming out to fight. So I have total respect for her, and she gave me a brilliant fight and a fight for the fans. It was a great fight, and it's prepared me for this world title. So, I mean, in the end, it all kind of worked out right for me anyway.
You get the world title. Not only that, you're the first Aussie to feature on the top of a Matchroom boxing card. How do you feel about that?
I feel like, you know, special. I like, you know what,
we agree.
You guys know me for a while. You know, I graft and I work hard for it, and you know, obviously not just in the gym, it's everything. Boxing is a business, and I set my goal, you know. I saw you last year in Vegas, you know, like where I wanted to be, you know, and I said that I want to fight in the UK and I want to do this, and I just made it happen, you know. And so I think just that for me, achieving a goal, I'm not there yet, but when I finally fight in the UK, you know, that's that goal ticked off. And like I said, I wasn't expecting a world title This soon in my career. The opportunity came about mid last year, and it's kind of dragged on since then. It's a long story, but yeah, I mean, it's just you take what's in front of you, and I'm really excited to showcase my skills and everything I've worked on, the Blonde Bomber, and who I am on such a great platform with Matchroom and The Zone, you know, and Matchroom have their YouTube channel as well, where you got all the backstage bubble stuff and all the right. behind the scenes stuff, like, and that's all like a bit of fun, you know. So, you know, I think I'll fit right in. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, natural. So, you know, let's look at that. I mean, the last time we spoke to you a few months ago, you know, that was the beginning of it. And since then, we've kind of had that groundswell of fans from the UK, from Australia, from America, probably hitting up Eddie Hearn to the point where he was like, I'm going to turn these damn notifications literally, off. Like, I'm so tired of hearing about this girl. And then, but like, it, you know, this push by the fans, like saying,
exactly.
this is who we want to see. This exactly. is what we want. How important is that to have fans like that to say, hey, look, we're going to bother this guy until he makes
I literally wouldn't be here without my fans. And everyone always asks me, oh, you don't have a promoter. You don't have anyone pushing you, because I don't have a promoter and I don't really have a manager that's online and pushing me or, no, you guys just disappeared.
We're here.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll just look at myself.
Sorry. Yeah, that's just the highlighting you part. I won't do that. Yeah. Freaked you out. Hey, I'm just talking to myself.
Oh, yeah. Really. I'll just do a monologue. No. Yeah. And, you know, having those fans, like you said, like, you know, I'm not really bothering. I didn't have to tag anyone. I didn't have to tag Eddie. I didn't have to tag Shannon Courtney. I didn't have to tag anyone because they're all doing it for me. And like not having a promoter, like I know everyone's like, you know, you don't have a promoter, you've done well, market yourself and stuff like that. And honestly, like I'm just being myself. That's all I'm doing. I'm being myself. And when I'm in interviews, you know, like I'm just myself and the fans love it. And then they promote me. They push me, you know, right. like, so they're like, I mean, they're going to ask for a cut now, but no, seriously, like they're, I think I owe it a lot to my fans, you know, and obviously me as a person, I'm someone that people want to see. And like I've said it before in an interview about it, like the thing is that I have fans like that who haven't really seen me fight. Like they've seen clips. They see, you can tell the way I punch, like on pads, and you can see my training, you can see some of my highlights and clips that I put up. You can tell I can fight. But realistically, they haven't seen me fight for over a year. What they love, and they just want to see the Blonde Bomber. They're in love with who I am as a person, and I think that's really important, because I feel like no matter what, win or lose, they're gonna love me, because you know what I mean. And they're gonna back me, and you know, particularly British fans, as you would know, being Americans, they're so fucking patriotic and loyal, like you know. So like the fact that they've like adopted an Aussie and that, I feel like they're gonna be quite loyal towards me. So. You know, all I know is that my fight style is definitely fan friendly, just like my personality, and whatever the outcome, which I do believe my hand will be raised, but whatever it may be, it's going to be exciting, and I'm going to get a lot of fans. More.
Women's boxing has been on a bit of a trajectory in 2021. I mean, you had Clarissa promoting her own card in her own pay per view. Franchon has been out there as well. We're waiting to hear from Michaela Mayer. I know she's supposed to fight in
June or something.
We're going to see her this time in the summer. Amanda Serrano just had an amazing fight. Sunisa was out there as well. We saw Marlene Estrada. There are some names out there in women's boxing.
Yeah.
What do you feel like your position is in terms of being, you're not signed to Matchroom. However, Eddie Hearn is the most female boxing friendly promoter out there. What do you see as kind of the next step that could happen in women's boxing for 2021? And can you be part of it?
I feel like, you know, I think it's going in the direction it's going. I think that it's at the pace that it's going to continue. Like it's going at a fast pace, but I don't see anything really extra dramatic happening. I feel like that's already kind of happening with these all female cards, and you know, people like Clarissa, who is putting on these cards and actually thinking about people, not just like herself. She could just think of herself, like, you know, and be like, you know, I just want to put on a card and don't worry about the girls, you know. But she actually goes out of the way to want to showcase female fighters, you know what I mean? And Mary McGee did the same as well. I don't know if you really see Katie Taylor doing that, or, you know, Chantel Cameron doing that, saying, no, I just want to, whoever those girls, you know, saying, okay, if I want to fight for a world title on a main event, I want to have a all-female card, and I want these girls to be showcased, you know, like, I see it happening in America, and I see the girls in America doing it, and I take my hat off to them, because they could just be all about themselves, but I do see that selflessness, and I respect that so much. As you know, I support all the girls, and I support as many boxes as I can, and I think it's really important to support each other in female, in women's boxing, because in the end, unfortunately, but fortunately, we're kind of all in it together. You know, we all represent each other. We all represent each other. When we get in there and fight, when new people come and watch us fight, say they haven't watched women's boxing before, they watch and they judge women's boxing from what they see. Like, oh, so if you put on a good performance, it's going to be, wow, women's boxing is actually pretty good. But if you're showcasing shitty fights and you don't train and you're out of shape, or you put mismatched fights, they're going to go, oh, yeah, this is women's boxing. This is why we don't fucking watch it. You know what I mean? So I just feel like, you know, if we can all train hard, we all support each other and push, then I think that's, you know, going to be really important for moving forward. And, yeah, I mean, as for me, I'm still, like, you know, on my way up, like I've got this, obviously, world title, but I can't really say much until they've all seen me fight. So until I've had this fight, and depending on how the, you know, the fan and the people react, I think that's where I'll be able to say, okay, well, I can pull some strings here and I can do this and I can do that. But I know that Eddie Hearn's interested in working with me beyond this fight. So that's always a bonus.
And oh, Eddie's not interested once you get that green belt.
Yeah, definitely.
It's going to be a whole
other
conversation.
Yeah. And then I'll always keep supporting and pushing, you know, yeah, always keep supporting and pushing the girls around me, the girls in front of me, supporting, like, the girls like Clarissa, like, you know, Terry Harper and you know, Michaela, all those girls, you know, I love them all. And the girls, you know, coming up behind me, you know, to push them, the ones that have just had a debut or making a debut or having a second fight and stuff like that. So, yeah, you know, unless you're an asshole, then you can just go get fucked. But, like, I mean, that's what goes around. Sorry, but what goes around comes around.
Just,
you know what I mean? Like, if you're going to be, like, if you're going to be, like a person that's just not good to work with and just, like, you can just see, like, you're just not a good person, now, you know, I'm not going to go out of my way to be, like, promote and help. So, I do want to tell us what I want done to me, and I treat people how they treat me. You know, better most of the time.
There was a clip on your Instagram. You were training, and someone turned to the camera and said, "Shannon ain't ready for this."
Yeah, Kimberly Reese. <Reese. laughs>
when people tune in on the 10th, and when Shannon is in front of you, what is she not ready for?
Oh, everything. Everything. Honestly, everything. Yeah.
Do you feel like you've been training for this your whole life? I mean, people see you as this happy, bubbly, positive personality, which you are. But we happen to know that it wasn't always like that for you. You had a difficult teenage kind of like part of your life. But kind of go back there, and how did that prepare you kind of for these big moments?
Oh man, well, I suppose like, obviously, my teens, going through a lot of things, experienced a lot of things, a lot of traumatic things, seeing a lot of things that are at an age and that I, you know, probably shouldn't see, and going through some really bad points where there is a point where you think, and, like, even my parents and everyone that knows me from there is, like, you know, for me to be even here is a blessing. So for me, it's like I got through all that. You know, and I came out the other end, and I didn't quit, and I didn't give up, and I mean, I could have, and I'm sure, whatever, but it just shows me also that I've got this second chance at life, and that's why I've got this mindset where I'm like, I need to just make the most of every single fucking day, like every single day, and that means being better being positive, making people around me believe in themselves and know that they can be better as well, because you can. All you got to do is try and not give up, you know, when things get tough, because there's always something on the other side of rain. There's a rainbow, or there's, you know, sunshine. So I just think it's important to push that message. And I just think that people, yeah, they definitely see that happy, bubbly side. And that's because I'm blessed to be here, and I'm happy to be here, and happy to have the people around me. And I don't take a minute of my life for granted, because to be able to wake up and be live and know that I'm working towards goals and I have a purpose for myself, you know, I mean, what more do you want, you know? And people, I know people think, oh, like, she just banders and jokes around and you know, I wear lingerie and I'm just like this and that and whatever. But, like, the graph that I do behind doors, which it's something that's personal for me, you know, because that's me, of me having to be how I am, of having to be the best and having to push myself to the limit and make sure that I do everything right and leave nothing unturned, because, like I said, I have to give everything 100% that I do, because you never know.
Well, we have been chatting with the blonde bomber, Ebony Bridges, who fights April 10th. It's a very tough Shannon Courtney. Now, you just mentioned, you know, your support for all the ladies, and you can see it if you follow any of the Instagram or Twitter or anything. Yep. A lot of the, you know, bigger name ladies out there, the ones who are moving the sport, you can see a lot of interaction because, you know, of the dynamic you guys have going on. But there seems to be a little bit of real animosity between you and Miss Courtney, and you know, her getting after you for, you know, the things you wear on weigh-in days and things like that. Underwear. I mean, yeah, for doing you.
For having fake boobs or something, because, like, let's be real, we're all wearing underwear. My underwear, she wears underwear. We all wear underwear. Mine happens to be lacy, and I happen to have big fake boobs, which are great. They help with my proportions, and I love them. And if she doesn't, that's her fault. Maybe she should go get some, and she wouldn't be so jealous. But honestly, that's all it is. It's just I look better, and she hates that. I think that's what it is. I don't have a full animosity. I never said nothing bad about her until she started ripping into me about saying that because of the way I weigh in, as in because I wear underwear and happen to have big boobs, that that's me being naked. Like, I might look more naked because they're really big and in your face, but I'm actually not. I'm still just wearing underwear like everyone else. You know what I mean?
I got nothing. This is exactly.
Yeah.
So, she's right, so, though. People do wear underwear.
Right. The difference is I have big boobs. Like, what do you want me to do? Like, tape them down or something? Like, I mean, nah. Come on.
Nah.
Like, you know, but, like, seriously, that's kind of where it came from. And, you know, like I said, I respect her as a boxer. She does work hard. She's a good boxer. But, you know, if she wants to have a stab, I'll have a stab back. So that's the main thing that I, like, kind of, we just banter about. But, yeah, she's very different to me. You know, she doesn't seem to have a lot of support either. I mean, that would be very, very hard. I could just imagine that, you know, how that would be. I wouldn't know. I don't really have, you know, I don't feel like I have that much hate. I feel like I've got little bits here and there, but it really, the love outweighs it. So it would be very hard. So she must be very, you know, strong-minded to keep pushing through and put up with it. So.
Well, y'all are going to fight anyway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm going to fight. And then
disagreements, smack each other.
Exactly. Yeah, she'll see exactly how serious I take it, even though I get naked. Naked.
Like there you go. And with that, and that's how we end it. And you can also catch Ebony. She is a kind of a sworn-in fan of the soccer team Leeds. Yeah. You know, doing her thing.
Yeah. I love it. I do. I love Leeds. I love the fans. They're brilliant. It's so good. Like, I'm talking to one of the main strikers, Rafinha, and I'm like gonna meet up and we're gonna, like, you know, really, really make it big. So Yeah, I got great support there.
Oh man, you're gonna end up.
I'm a Patriots fan. I'm a Patriots fan too. Where are all my Patriots?
Oh my god, you're
even though there's no Brady there anymore. No,
I know.
The Raiders.
I know. Look, I'm not gonna lie. Watching the last Super Bowl, I felt like Tampa was my team. Like,
you can't help it.
Like, yeah. No, but. I like the Patriots. When I started watching NFL, I loved the Pats because of Gronk. Yeah, I like Gronk.
Yeah.
And Amendola. So not quite Brady, but.
But your attitude matches better up with the Las Vegas Raiders. I'm just saying.
Hey, when I was in Vegas, when it was getting built, I had to go past the Raiders Stadium, and I was there, and I took photos. You've seen on my Instagram of it being built because I just love it. I do love it in NFL, and I'm like, I have to go see this new stadium. So. You know, I showed some love. I showed some love.
Hey, listen, tell anyone to book a card there. Get you on right. Fight.
Yeah.
Have them pay for it.
Once I get
we have been fortunate enough to take some of your time as you're training, and we don't take for granted that you come by, but definitely wanted to make sure, since we're all in the same country at least, to have a conversation
definitely.
With you. Best of luck, April 10th.
Thank
on
you
the
so
zone.
Much.
You're on the Ben, is it Burgess?
Ben,
card?
Yeah, Vargas, yeah. Connor Ben Samuel Vargas card, yeah.
That's gonna be
and then,
good.
Savannah Marshall is on that card.
I'm
as
gonna
well,
steal
so.
The show, just saying.
Just saying. Get your coins up. I think it's $9.99 a month for the zone.
But, yeah,
that's get it.
Yeah. Make sure you don't, you know, you tune in early, you're not just there for the main event, because I know it's gonna be a Kraken fight, me and Courtney. It's gonna be a Kraken fight.
Gonna get those damn hands put on them. And we can't wait to watch it. We'll get you back on as soon as you have that belt. We're not playing favorites, over, but as soon as you have that belt,
yeah,
we can
100%,
100%. And can't wait, man. Best of luck as you continue your training and everything. And
thank
we'll
you
see
so
you April
much.
10th. And, can't wait to watch. Yeah, go
and
ahead.
And just a quick shout out. If you see Mike, please give him a hug for me. And virtual hugs for you. Oh, you can't, COVID,
he's
whatever.
Traveling to Miami.
We will hug Mr. Dixon for you. All right, Ebony, take care. I love talking to you.
You too.
Best of luck.
Always
we'll see you down the line.
Thank you. Bye.
There she is. Ebony Bridges. Awesome. One of our favorite people to chat with. And here comes another guy who we love chatting. We were supposed to have him earlier. He finally figured it out. He had to punch somebody in the head to get it done. But, you know, that's Dewey Cooper for you. There he is. The guy, the man, the myth, the legend, Dewey
Cooper. Listen, real fast, guys. I don't know what's up with the forum you guys are using, but go to Zoom. Go to Zoom. This StreamYard thing is a nightmare. I look like the ignoramus every time, because for some reason my phone don't like StreamYard or StreamYard, whatever it is. Hey, my nephew feeling some kind of way. I had to take his phone. Just do this goddamn interview. Anyway.
Look, hey you guys. Know, we said you had a Boost Mobile phone, man. All I'm saying is upgrade to Cricket.
Hey, what is this? What phone is this? Who do I go through? See, hey, man, listen, I've been making money. Hey, listen, I've been making money, but I still go through Metro. Fuck that.
That's how you get your money.
I got a pocket full of money right now. I'm in Philadelphia right now chilling. But I go through Metro PC. My money goes to my family.
I'm driving in
a Mercedes S550, but I got a Metro PC phone. It works. I don't care.
I get it.
My daughter, my 15-year-old daughter got better shit than me. Okay.
As she should, because listen,
most of them do.
Julie has a 15-year-old daughter, and she is somebody special. She is a 4.0 student. I believe she plays the cello with upright bass. She's a basketball star and a singer. Most people ain't done that in a lifetime, let alone by the age of 15. So, man, mad props to you and her mom, because that little girl – she really is someone special. Really, really cool to see like how she's progressing and things.
Thank you. Thank you. But guys, I know you guys are saying, dude, you got a big smile on your face. You're so happy. Yes, I am. We did it. We did it. We did it.
The champions.
I told you guys years ago. I told you guys years ago we win the heavyweight title. I told you guys years ago Francis Ngannou was the best heavyweight in the world. It just took us a little longer than expected, but we got it done. You know, we should have got it done the first Stipe fight, but we did it wonderfully this past weekend. So, yeah, I'm still happy about it.
That's a good place to that's a good place to start. I mean, let's look at that. I mean, just a while back, you guys had that first Stipe fight, didn't quite go your way. You know, I know Francis, I was talking about him earlier, he's been training his ass off ever since to shore up his all-around MMA game and everything. What has been the biggest difference between the guy who walked in with Stipe the first time around and the guy who came in, knocked him out, and took that belt this past weekend?
Well, what I was saying in the pre-hype before the fight on UFC Embedded on several other shows was the difference was going to be the level of experience. And that's the bottom line. When he fought Stipe the first time, he didn't have much fight experience at all. So that was the biggest thing. The second biggest thing was continuity. He was training half the time here with me, the other half of the time in France. And guys, the MMA factory in France is legit. It's big time. They got great fighters there. They have excellent coaching. It's not that he went to a better or worse place. It's just the continuity. You guys know how this game is. You can't be in one place and then training at the other place. It's better for it to be one centralized location. And that was the difference in his last few fights. He's totally moved to Las Vegas. He's doing all of his training in Las Vegas. So now we have formulated the perfect team. Like I said before, he was training like the first 4 weeks with me here in Vegas at the UFCPI. Then he would go to France for 3 or 4 weeks and train at the MMA factory or vice versa. And that's cool, but we all know it's better to be in one centralized location. We found that location. He's been at Extreme Couture's training with Eric Nixon, you know, a partner of mine and myself. Everybody, I'm still part of the team. It's just we have that continuity that you need as a team. You need everybody under one roof, everybody doing their own thing and training, and everyone working together to make Francis a better fighter. And I think that's what has happened. Francis is getting his wrestling. He's getting his grappling. He's getting his jiu-jitsu. And, of course, he's getting his striking. So I think that's the biggest difference. And, by the way, traveling takes a lot out of you, too. He's comfortable. We can formulate the training around him. We know who's going to be there. We know who we don't want there, et cetera. So it's just more itemized training for Francis. He gets everyone's time, and he works hard, and that's why we got the result and the reward of the UFC Heavyweight Championship belt.
You mentioned how you got everything in one location and you provided a lot of structure for Francis. When he got there, did you believe he had bought in, or did it take a little while to get everyone on the same page? Because there were some new pieces for him.
Well, no, he always bought in. But when you don't have a lot of experience, you're still learning certain things too. So it took some adversity for him to really figure out what was best for him, because every fighter has their own journey and have to figure out what's best for them. So he trained a little, you know, he trained at the PI with me. Then he trained a little bit at Syndicate. He didn't train at Extreme Couture's yet, but he was testing things out what worked best for him. And he finally got the perfect fit that works for him. And being at Extreme Couture's is a really great fit, because they have a bunch of heavyweights. They have a really good wrestling program, and they got some cool guys that's willing to help out if you need them. And, you know, Eric is a good friend of mine for many, many years. we worked with fighters in the past together, like Kevin Lee, Keith Lee, Ray Sefu. When Ray Sefu came back and did his fight for the World Series of Fighting, when he was the president of the company, but he did a fight for them. Yeah. It was Eric Nixick and I, his coaches, in that fight. So Eric Nixick and I got a long history together. That's why I work so good. That's the difference. Francis was always down the train and work and get better. But it's just like you said, the structure's a little different now. And he's been waiting for this moment since the Stipe 1 thing happened, situation, the loss. I hate using the word loss, but since that Stipe 1 loss, he had been waiting for this moment anyway, and he had been doing the right things for the last 3 years to get him back to this point. People are so funny. If you're too good, right, if you get 3-4 fights and knock everybody out really quickly, you still get scrutinized for that. You know what I mean? I mean,
it's all hype.
Yeah, everyone's like, oh, we haven't seen enough. We haven't seen enough. Well, right. That's not Francis's fault. These guys didn't have enough. These guys didn't have enough to make Francis show you more. You know what I mean? Right. You can't blame the guy who wins by a knockout in the first 20 seconds. That's not his fault. It's the guy's fault for being knocked out so fast. So right. We all knew this day was going to come. We all knew this was going to happen, and we all knew he'd be the UFC champion. Go online, watch all the videos we put up before this fight. We were all saying the same sentiments. Experience, he's a different fighter. He's way more well-rounded than what people think. He can punch, kick, grapple, wrestle. And I'm glad finally someone was good enough to make him show different elements in his game. And that's why I think everyone is so shocked. No one's seen him throw a head kick. No one's seen him, you know, be patient. No one's seen him defend the takedown. No one's seen him reverse the takedown. No one's seen him put that, you know, take a guy's back and put those hammers on him, some hard-ass uppercuts. You know, he showed the whole arsenal. And, guys, he has so much more to show. He didn't show you his spinning elbow techniques. He can do jump back kicks. He can do a lot of things. And the better the opposition, the better the fighter is, the more he'll be able to show. So I'm just happy that what we trained, what we dreamed about, what we planned came in fruition in real time for the whole world to see. We knew that fight was going to happen the way it happened, but I'm just glad it happened like it was supposed to.
Now, you just said there's still more he has to showcase. Francis even come out and said, hey, I still have more levels to me. There's other things the guys haven't seen. How scary good can Francis Ngannou actually be? After all that we've seen in the UFC, he's still got more to go? I mean, is that what you're telling us?
Absolutely, because think about this. Most guys – and by the way, I'm telling you real, real shit. I'm not some dude making up shit. Yeah, most of the guys real facts. Most of the guys that you know in the UFC have been fighting a long time. They've been training for 10, 15, 20 years just to make it to this level. Francis has only been 7 years total, not just, you know, as a professional, 7 years total body of training. And you see how far he's gotten. He's now the UFC undisputed champion. And when you're doing this martial arts thing, it takes at least 10 years to really reach your level of mastery, what some people would call black belt level, etc. Takes 10 years for that. So absolutely, he has more to show. He has more to grow. And it's going to keep coming out in the next few years. I think about 2 years from now, he'll be reaching his peak of what he could do. But no, he's not there yet. As long as he keeps training and keep working hard like he's doing, he'll keep improving. And you'll start seeing more stuff from him. And that's what's so exciting about him, a heavyweight that can do stuff that middleweights can do, but still have that heavyweight gargantuan power. That's why he's the talk of UFC right now, man. And the way he looks, too. He looks like a goddamn superhero or something.
He absolutely does. I mean, so you guys walked into the room. It was you, Kamaru, and Eric, and, you know, of course, Francis. And I was like, that's the F around and find out crew. Like, you just what was problems at all. What difference did it make for you all having Kamaru there? I know I saw he was in the corner, but in terms of his involvement at all in the camp.
I made a big difference, but remember, this is not the first time Kamaru has worked a corner with us, with Francis. People just made a big deal out of it because it was for the championship belt. Kamaru worked with us when we fought JDS also. Kamaru was in the corner. That was the first fight that Eric worked the corner with us. We were getting ready to fight Junior Dos Santos. The plan was for it to be Kamaru and myself, and Eric had someone fighting on that same card. So Francis said, yo, let's get Eric in here too, since he was already in Vegas. And that's when we got him to start training at Couture's after that fight. So Kamaru's been with us for several fights in the corner. When Francis had his UFC debut, Kamaru Usman also had his UFC debut. They're both African brothers debuting in the UFC on the same show. So they became very close friends all the way through. They're really close friends. And since Kamaru was the first one to, you know, break through and be the first African UFC champion, that really meant a lot for Francis. And Francis always talked to Kamaru about it and used Kamaru to be like his what's the word I'm looking for?
Mentor.
Emotional support. That close friend can confide your true feelings about. And don't get me wrong, he could talk to his coaches anytime. But sometimes things that you may not be comfortable talking to certain people about, you know how you can talk to your best buddy about. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so Kamaru helped out in the psychological, emotional part of getting through that championship week because he's a champion and he's had a lot of stressful fights lately. And secondly, Kamaru, guys, he's brilliant when it comes to that clinching wrestling mesh of striking to wrestler to MMA well-rounded fighter. He has some real good clean little details about the clinch, about the underhooks and hitting when they hit the wizard, when the, you know, simple, intricate shit that I don't want to talk too much about, but all the people that's in the MMA in the wrestling know Kamaru has some real good intricate wisdom in those training rooms that last week of the fight when we were all training together. Slight details that only the experts would know. And since he's such a high-level wrestler, grappler, and now world-rounded UFC champion, he was like a real good voice for Francis's head to reiterate the things we were saying. We all felt he needed to be calm, cool, composed. We all did not want him to go out there, you know, and blow his wad in the first round. We all wanted him to fight a mature, patient fight. Kamaru said the same thing, so it just validated how Eric Nixick and I felt about it, because we're saying that anyway. So now you get the champ coming in saying the same thing. It happens to be your African brother, too, who you trust implicitly. It just made the coaches, made our job easier. So, man, it was an awesome week, man. Kamaru is cooler than a ceiling fan, man. That is a cool-ass brother. So it was really nice having him there.
Want to show off this picture that CeCe snapped over the weekend, the three young champions doing their thing, having a laugh, man. But really, really awesome moment to see between all these young guys right before Francis won his title, I believe.
Is and real fast, think about this. Think about this. I'm not cutting you off, but think about this. Yeah. right now, what, the top five UFC guys, what, three of them are from Africa?
Yeah.
You know,
crazy. Man, you're gonna have to put that card together. Yeah,
it just shows how this MMA thing, this UFC thing is now a global sport, man. Right. Also, are there any more American UFC champions left? Any Americans?
Poirier.
I think
Poirier is. So we're about to get one in lightweight, right?
We're gonna get one. Nunes is Brazilian.
So well, no, stop. Hey, that's. That's a rhetorical question. I knew the answer. Francis got the last American guy. Francis got the last American champ.
Yeah. Wow.
Francis defeated the last American champ. There are no champions in the UFC that are American.
Well, Aljamain Sterling. Aljamain Sterling is technically. Oh,
yes. Okay.
Technically.
Semantics.
But for right now, he's the one who earned it.
Yes, you're right. So, I was wrong. Aljamain, I forgot about that. You're right. So, never mind. Man, we almost got him. We almost got them all.
Hey, if it wasn't for that knee, then I don't think we would have any American champions. Volkanovski, Jones.
By the way, I'll put some respect on Aljamain's name. I was at Couture's. He's at Couture's. I got love for him. I did some pads work with him on Sicko Saturday. So I totally forgot about Aljamain. No disrespect. Got love for him. He's a cool ass brother, too.
You on your high,
big up to Prince. Yeah. I forgot about Aljamain. He's the only one. So that's big. Aljamain's the only American champion in the UFC right now. That's a great thing, though, guys. That just shows how global and how big MMA has become and how great UFC is for the sport of mixed martial arts, man. There's only one freaking American champion. We got champions in China, Africa, Brazil, Australia, you know what I mean? That's great. You know, we have one in Russia, you know, Dagestan. That's great, man. That's great.
Wow. That's amazing.
I didn't even realize that. And if not for one untimely knee, we probably wouldn't have any American champions. And which is not a bad thing. I mean, like you said, Jan is Polish and, you know, John Jones vacated his. So, I mean, we're going to get a new one there. But, you know,
let's talk about John Jones. So,
go ahead.
So, John obviously wants the biggest fight he can get, and it's not going to get any bigger right now unless he's going to fight Connor, because that seems to be everybody's payday. But do you think that fight's going to happen between John and Francis this year?
I definitely think it should. John is a smart man. Everyone is looking at what Mayweather did, and they're trying to reenact that or recreate that. But John Jones, for him to fight Francis Ngannou, is definitely the most risky move he can make in all of his MMA fighting career. So, of course, he should ask for a boatload of money, because that's a high-risk fight. Most likely, you guys know what's going to happen to him. So you might as well get paid very, very well in a fight of that magnitude. So everyone's talking just today. He wants, you know, more than $10 million to fight, blah, blah, blah. I don't blame him for a fight like that, a risky fight, a super dangerous fight like that. He should definitely get optimum amounts of money. Because, see, no matter how we feel about John Jones, he is the GOAT of mixed martial arts, period. He's the best guy. And so it's how quickly we forget all the things that John Jones has done for the UFC and for the sport of mixed martial arts. More title defenses than anyone, you know. We love that train wreck type of guy who has all these ups and downs and come back and still persevere and conquer moments. So John Jones, whatever amount of money he can get, he deserves it. Because I'm going to tell you right now, fighting Francis Ngannou is something different. And, guys, he's only going to be getting better. So however long the fight takes, he's going to get better and better. So If I were John, I'd try to fight Francis sooner than later. But I really think the fight will happen this year.
Well, the other guy they keep dangling out there is the guy that you guys have faced off against before, Derek Lewis, who said, "Hey, I'll come in for the respectable amount of $8 million and fight Francis." And he does have a unanimous decision win over Francis again. Maybe a completely different fighter than he faced the first time. How would you see? I mean, at this point, it's only a few days removed from his title fight and everything, so this is wishful thinking. But does the champ really care who his next opponent is at this point?
Francis, one thing about Francis, man, he's a real champion. He doesn't want the belt to be stagnant. He wants to fight frequently. As far as Derek, even Derek trying to outbid himself. See, none of these guys really fight Francis is something different. You know what I mean? Whoever it is, doesn't matter to me. Markel Martin, Francis' manager, great guy. And Francis will decide who they fight. Me as a coach, Eric as a coach, all we care about getting the name, and then we formulate the game plan and we just work hard to get to the finish line and triumph at the finish line. So I've been fighting a long time since I was a kid. I never cared about who I fought. I never turned down any fights. And you could go talk to any of the old school guys who from my era. I never turned down any fights because if you feel you're the best, you can fight anyone. The Mayweather model made it a little different. It was all about business more so than ego. And I understand that's the smarter way to be. So nowadays, we do have to take in consideration the business. So whoever it be, as long as Markel and Francis are okay with it, we're okay with it. But as far as anyone in the UFC, I know Francis isn't intimidated, worried, afraid, apprehensive, none of those adjectives about anyone in the UFC. He'll fight them all, and he wants to fight them all, especially guys who have given him a good fight or who have beaten him. He definitely wants to avenge all those fights. But John Jones, guys, is the biggest fight opportunity for the whole sport of mixed martial arts. And Francis already said he'd love to do that fight. Hopefully we can make it happen. And I'll be the first person to say it right now. This will be exclusive for your show. If they do that fight, we got to take it back to Zaire. We got to go back to Africa. Imagine Francis Ngannou versus John Jones somewhere in Africa with Usman and Adesanya on the undercard. Three African champions fighting in Africa for the whole world to see. There's nothing bigger than that. That would be like Ali going back to Africa fighting Zaire against George Foreman. Let's do some history shit. The new Rumble in the Jungle, Francis Ngannou versus John Jones. That fight has to be in Africa. Vegas is the Mecca. I love Vegas. I live in Vegas. But that fight needs to be in Africa with Usman and Adesanya on that show and just the Rumble in the Jungle for real, man. That would be a worldwide event. More eyes in Africa than any other fight event, including the Muhammad Ali event. That would be something that the world needs to happen this year.
That'd be amazing. This year it's going to have to be like December because I'm going to need time to get vaccine and have my time for it to take hold. Now I got to get the passport situation and then I got to get my mom.
I said it first, though. I said it first. If it happens, history better remember. Dewey Cooper said it first. It needs to be in Africa. John Jones and Ngannou. Not Vegas, not Madison Square, not San Antonio or Jerry's World in Dallas. None of that. That needs to be in Africa, buddy. Wakanda forever.
Francis Boumaye. Francis Boumaye.
One thing real fast is we're having fun with this. You talked about when Francis, myself, Kamaru, and Eric walked in the post fight thing, and we looked like,
that's
man,
the
every time I look at
out, tripping.
Every time I look at Francis, it just makes me feel proud. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Big old
How did
brother.
You feel at once he actually, the moment in the fight for me was how he got up from the takedown. How did you feel when that happened?
We knew it was a wrap. We were slapping five and screaming and shit under our breath. We were like, oh my God, you know, it was freaking out. We knew it was a done deal. All we were doing was keeping composure, but we were tripping in that corner. Eric and I, we were like, oh, you know what I mean? It was crazy. We just kept it cool because we're professional. We kept it cool because we're professional and we expected it to happen, but it was exhilarating to see. We were hyped up, like what the new coach, the young kids say, lit. We were litty. we were lit. You know what I mean? It was crazy, man.
Stipe went back to his corner after the first round. I forgot there was two rounds of the fight. It went so fast. But coach, he was getting coaching, and they're basically telling him he's got to be faster, he's got to move, and he just said, I know. And, I mean, you knew. That moment, he knew it was over. That's what he knew. Were you able to hear anything going on over there? Because there were some fans in there. I don't know. Did you know there was a Kardashian in there?
Yeah, but I'm not the reality dude, so I never cared about the Kardashians. I don't even understand. And by the way, not hating on the Kardashians, not hating on anyone who got their shine. They got more followers than me, not hating. But I don't follow anyone who don't have some kind of talent that I wish I had. A singer that can sing better than me, a basketball player that shoot better than me, a pianist that can play better than me. If you're an expert at something, I respect you because I know it's hard to be an expert. But if you're just a person with no real expertise, but I don't know. I don't get it. But I'm an old dude, so I don't get the reality TV shit, none of that. But
look, we already established you're still on Metro.
Yes. So a Kardashian, I'm thinking, what is that? Why? Why? But you know, people like them, so I'm wrong. People like them, I'm wrong. Oh no. All I give a fuck about in this world, guys, is my daughter. My girl, Katrina, David, you know, my nephew, Big David, and the fighters. I don't give a fuck about nothing else. You know what I mean? So,
whatever else y'all burning, that's between you. Well, you got a fight coming up because you're not in Vegas right now. Who are you out there with?
Oh, yes. I'm here with Twilight Timmy Kwamba. Twilight Timmy Kwamba. He's fighting in the CFFC tomorrow night. Cage Fury Fighting Championships live on UFC Fight Pass. He's a 1-0 undefeated professional MMA fighter. He was a 2-time Tough Enough MMA champion in Vegas. He's a killer. He fights at 145 pounds. He's a killer. He'll be in the UFC within the next year to year and a half. He's a killer, guys. You'll never forget him when you see him. We call him Twilight Timmy because he's pretty like the wolf guy on the Twilight movies. but he knocks people out and put them in the Twilight Zone. So that's why we call him Twilight Timmy. He's a pretty dude, but he's a beast.
I remember him from Tough Enough out here. Yeah.
Yep.
Super
Twilight
pretty.
Timmy Kwamba.
We call him
he's a pretty,
Ricky.
Pretty dude. Yeah, he looks like the wolf guy in the Twilight movie. The pretty dude in the Twilight movie. They look just alike. But this
does he always walk around with the shirt off too?
Super. Yes, he does.
Yo,
hey, what's up?
Hey, look at that pretty face.
Come on, man. Pretty Ricky. Hey, come on.
I'm surprised he has his shirt on now. He's always had his shirt on. He always has his shirt off. Always.
Well, if you can, you do.
Guys. but he can really fight. So check him out tomorrow night, UFC Fight Pass, Twilight Timmy Kwamba. He's a beast. He can really fight, guys.
I love it.
But, man, I'm just so happy. Like I said, Francis, we're so proud of him. For me personally, it was like so great because we worked hard, we trained hard, and to see him perform the way he performed at the gym, he was sparring guys, doing exactly what we seen Saturday night, man. It was beautiful and a very memorable moment for me as a coach because you guys know how it goes. We train all the time, and sometimes the fight don't happen the way it happens in the gym. Most times it don't happen the way you plan it. Right. But this was one of the rare times where it happened exactly like we planned it. Big respects to Eric Nixick for what he's done. Big respects to Markel Martin. Big respects to his cameraman. Big respects to the champ himself. And I'm just happy because for me personally, that was the last championship I had not won as a coach. I won. That was my 9th world title won as a coach. I won 7 world titles in boxing, 1 world title. I'm sorry, 6 world titles in boxing, 1 world title in kickboxing, 1 world title in bare knuckle boxing, and now the UFC world title. 9 championships, yes. And I'm so happy. And the UFC was definitely the hardest one to get.
Don't you got another one coming? Because you are training Bubba Jenkins. For PFL.
Yes. Oh, by the way, April 23rd, Mr. Jenkins, the bad man, is fighting Lance Palmer. We're fighting the guy who won the PFL tournament 2 years in a row. Yep. He won the $1 million prize the last 2 consecutive years. That's our first fight, April 23rd in the PFL. Mr. Jenkins versus Lance Palmer on ESPN. You don't want to miss it. Mr. Yeah. Jenkins is looking good right now. April 23rd is going down. We are ready. And April 23rd, he's really going to be ready. I'm telling you, that's one fight you don't want to miss in the PFL, guys. Last thing about that real quick, the only thing bad about the PFL, you guys know we're on a 17-day quarantine. We go on quarantine April 6th. April 6th, we go on quarantine. And in case people don't know, that's the only thing I'm unhappy about with the PFL. Yeah, we have to do a 17-day quarantine, guys. Yeah. It's crazy. The fighters can bring one coach and one training partner. I don't even know why, honestly. The UFC does a 7-day. You get there for a week. You know what I mean? We go into the hotel room on Monday. We're stuck there till Saturday. We're on a 17-day quarantine. Look that up. It's going to surprise you. Wow. But we got – Bubba and I will be going to Ocean City, New Jersey, April 6th, and we don't fight until April 23rd. And all the fighters have to report to the bubble for 17 days for the fight. I don't like that at all because we have lives, we have kids, we have stuff, but it has to be done.
Opportunities happening too. Did it change up any opportunities for you as well?
I have a few guys who are fighting that I won't be able to work their corner. And then of course the Keith Lee camp, he's fighting in Bellator the first week of May, so I'm gonna miss a great portion of that Killer Keith Lee's Bellator fight because I'll be in quarantine. You know, it's just a bit excessive. That's why I'm bringing it up. I'm not trying to hate on PFL. Great company. Ray Seppel is like a big brother to me. But the 17-day quarantine is tough, guys. And we're going to go through it because I love Bubba Jenkins. But it's tough. And it's tough on the fighters, too. Bubba has 3 kids. Imagine missing your kids for 17 days. Lance Palmer just had a son. You know what I mean? So his kids are going to be a newborn. He's going to be gone. So, you know, it's crazy, but it's part of the game. We're going to get through it. But yeah, Bubba Jenkins, April 23rd, man. It's a good month. It's a good month for us. Man, it's a good.
Well, you also just had Jamie Mitchell on Clarissa Shields' card. Some people will have to see about her.
People think I'm crazy because I'm talking so much, but she gets me so hyped. Boy, she's on her shit. You guys, you MMA people, get on my fucking nerves. You guys don't know nothing about boxing. Never talk about boxing. But no, not her. You know, she's on her stuff, man. You know, on the Clarissa Shields undercard. Clarissa Shields, it's been about 3 weeks now. She did her all women's pay-per-view boxing show. She looked spectacular in the show. She won her fight. But guess what? There was one knockout on the entire show. And guess who that was? My fighter, Miss Miracle, Jamie Mitchell. Man, she looked great that night. And we're excited for her next fight, man. If you want to see that show, look at that show. Don't forget to watch the Miracle Jamie Mitchell's fight. Man, you guys will be surprised. She's a problem for anyone in the 118-pound division. She's a problem.
Love it. Love it, man. Dewey, it's always great talking to you, man. You're always usually a chipper guy, but now even more so because of all the success and everything. So congratulations to you, your team, and your fighters. I know it's been a long time coming. I know you did, in fact, tell us what was going to happen. So, you know, maybe we'll call you Mystic Dewey from now on. You just predict these things, man.
No, call me Negro Dumas. I'm Negro Dumas.
Oh, you're stealing it from Paul Mooney. All right.
I'm joking. But no, seriously, it's been a great last, like, 6 weeks, starting with the Miracle Jamie Mitchell doing what she did, and then what Frances just did was incredible. My 17-year-old boxer, Samuel Arnold III, seven-time national boxing champion, had his pro debut 2 weeks ago. He looked spectacular, won his fight. He's 1-0 as a professional at 17 years old. He's going to be a star in boxing in about the next 3 years. So I'm just blessed, man, and I'm happy. I love you guys' show. Thanks for having me. Francis really made a brother's year, though. Francis made a brother's year, man. You know, now I see why, like, all the Irish people cheer for Conor so much. They get behind their people. When I see Francis, he makes me proud to be black, man. I'm African, boy. Francis the Gunner. Wakanda forever.
Let's go. Let's go. Is out here with it. This is for
my head. Well, best of luck to you and your team and your fighters from here on out, dude. I know we're going to catch you again soon. Best of luck to Twilight Timmy. Put that put that shirt on. Take that shirt off, boy. Come on, man. Walk around. Be proud of it if you got it. You don't want to end up like an old man like me.
You ain't lying. So guys, good energy to Twilight Timmy for his fight tomorrow. UFC Fight Pass.
Right.
Good energy to Bubba Jenkins for his fight versus Lance Palmer April 23rd. Yep. And good energy to Killer Keith Lee fighting the Bellator in May. We don't want to forget about Killer Keith Lee, Kevin Lee's little brother. Right. Send them all good energy, guys. We appreciate you guys' love and support. Thank you very much. We told you Francis would be the champion, guys, and we're going to keep winning and keep being humble. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate Thank you so much. Talk to you soon, Dewey.
Bye now.
Upgrade that phone at some point. All right.
No, I'm keeping it real. I'm going to keep it real. I'm keeping it real.
Get that cricket phone from now. All right.
Get that cricket.
There you go. Dewey Cooper, man. Always so much fun to talk to. Big shout out to him, his team. Honestly, what a great year they're having and have had. And a lot of people miss all that hard work that they do behind the scenes. The stuff that most people are not privy to, but it's paying off in spades. You got a heavyweight champion. You got all kinds of fighters in boxing and MMA at various levels coming through there. What a great team that they have with Coach Eric over at Extreme and Dewey Cooper. Man, what an exciting time for them.
Can you imagine? I suspect Dewey's the guy who, like, gets, like, body work, you know? Uh-huh. So he's the one getting hit by Francis the most.
Yeah. I would imagine. Or
his training partners don't show up all the time.
He probably, gives that to someone else. Hey, assistant coach, come over here. I'll let you do that today.
Wouldn't you think by now there's, like, equipment that has been developed where, like, it's an actual, like, robot taking those shots instead of
– I don't know. They got those
Maybe we should do that. We just need to create like some kind of robot that we can just sell to all these gyms. The spar bots.
Sparbot 2000. I think you know, if you have a guy that hits as hard as a Buick going 90 miles an hour, I don't know how well a robot's gonna. Although I did see that one Will Smith movie, so who knows? Yeah. Who knows if that'll happen? The Pursuit of Happiness, right? Is that the one where he fights robots? But anyway, that's the show. Thank you so much to Dewey Cooper. Thank you so much to the blonde bomber, Ebony Bridges. Best of luck to her and her upcoming WBA bantamweight title fight against Shannon Courtney on April 10th. You'll be able to watch that on DAZN. And any parting last thoughts there, Cece?
No, Jamel Herring coming up on Saturday. I think early Saturday.
Early,
It's in Saudi Arabia somewhere. So is it in Saudi Arabia or Dubai? I don't remember.
One of those.
It's on ESPN Plus. Yeah. Really, Ralph and I are going to talk about it a little bit more tomorrow, but that's the thing, that's the fight that's on my mind right now, because that is coming up. But we're headed into a couple of weeks here of some great boxing. UFC is on hiatus for like 2 weeks before they hit the road, but like we're gonna have, you know, looks like it's gonna be combat summer.
Oh, and there's all kinds of fun news popping up and everything, but we'll have to get to that at some other time, man. So that's it. That's the show. What a great show.
Show on the news. We just like run down top.
Yeah, we just talk about the news. Stories. And then I can talk about the weather and I can shake my fist.
Damn the sunshine.
All you guys be safe. Thank you so much for watching. Thanks for sharing the show, liking our page. We appreciate all your love and support. For the Sportsnista, this way, Sportsnista, Cassandra Cousineau. I'm Jeremy Long, and for Ralph Velez and Mike Dixon, we'll see you guys later. This has been Levels TC Martin. We're looking at you, that Boost Mobile phone.